This is Galatians 5, starting at verse 13 and reading to the end of the chapter. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants to one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. This is God's word.
Good morning.
The few, the tired, I imagine, this morning. So, well, Jeff, as you know, has been going through the book of Galatians, and he's nearing the end, and it had always been his plan to, at the end of it, to go through the fruits of the Spirit one by one and cover each one individually. And so he knew that Amy was coming due, and so he asked me ahead of time to take one of them and be prepared for it. But she had the baby earlier rather than later, so that's why we're doing long-suffering, because that's the one I prepared for. And even though it comes fourth in the list, we're putting it first because she had the baby, I think, Friday on December 30th. So. Well, as I'm sure that Jeff can relate to, as he has prepared many sermons here for Redeemer, there are some sermon topics that, as you're preparing to preach on them, you can fairly readily reach back into your own experience and think about that topic or that subject and draw upon growth or maturity that you've experienced, some things that you have come to understand and put into practice in your life, and you weave that into the sermon, and you can readily draw from that maturity. But then there's sermons like today that, as I was preparing for the topic of patience or long suffering, as we're going to use, that's the word we're going to use, it was very clear to me, and I have known for quite a while, that is not an area of maturity for me. That's not an area of strength for me. In fact, I would say that area for me is definitely a struggle. It's one of my areas of weaknesses, I think. And so a lot of what I'm going to be sharing today is drawn more from failure and from struggle in that area. But thankfully, the Lord is long-suffering toward me. He is patient toward me and my weaknesses, and I am thankful for that. And I know that He is continuing to work in me, even through failure and despite failure. And so I pray that is what I pass on to you this morning, is a sense that despite perhaps many failures in your life with patience and continuing failure, that you will come to understand that God is still working, perhaps even through your failure, and that He is patient with you and long-suffering toward you, and He's growing that in you. And up to this point in Galatians, as Jeff has talked about, Paul has primarily been stressing the importance of faith and not mere human obedience in trying to keep the law and gain our own righteousness, but rather we gain righteousness from Christ through faith, simply by trusting in what he has done for us. We receive his righteousness. And in chapter 5, Paul makes a shift now, and he begins to talk about life in the Spirit. Now that we are trusting in Christ, we can look to his Spirit to produce genuine obedience and Christ-likeness in us, rather than simply striving in our own strength to try to obey the law. And starting in verse 13, as Eddie read, Paul begins to contrast the acts of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God's Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of believers, of those who follow Christ. He is working in them, and there are things that in our prior to our salvation, when we were simply slaves to our human sinful condition, there were acts of the flesh that we followed. That word flesh is basically in this context meaning sinful human condition. And there are things that characterized us and sometimes still do characterize us. But our life in the Spirit should be characterized by different fruit. And Paul shows that those two things are, those two forces, the flesh and the Spirit, are really at war with each other all the time, even inside us now. That we continue to be drawn to our old nature and want to follow that and obey that. But Christ, through his Spirit, is calling us and working in us something new and much better. And patience is one of those things that he mentions. As I said, it's fourth in the list. And in the acts of the flesh that he lists, there's no clear sort of antithesis to patience, but there are probably several things that could be seen as the opposite of patience. He mentions selfishness. He mentions fits of anger. Paul mentions divisions and dissension. And those really, in a sense, could all be seen as the counter or the opposite of what patience would be. But before we go on, I want to more clearly define what we mean by patience. When I hear the word patience, I think of standing in long lines, or I think of waiting a long time for something to happen, or frustration with just things not happening the way I want them to. And so it's sort of this learning to be tolerant and wait your time, bide your time. That's not all what Paul means when he talks about patience here. When Paul talks about patience, he's really talking more about not just enduring, but the word I like is the old KJV word, long-suffering, that we are called to endure wrongs that are done to us, and not simply endure them, but to trust in God through them, and to look to God to sustain us, and to we reach out in love despite many wrongs perhaps that are being done repeatedly to us by someone. And that's what Paul is talking about long-suffering. I picked out a few different passages that use the word long-suffering just to give us a sense of how the Bible uses this word. And like I said, usually you see patience in modern translations. And I mean, I'm all in favor of modern translations. I was an ancient languages major. I am all in favor of continually improving translations to understand them better, readability in English, and to be more accurate about reflecting the original languages. But I got to admit, I think the KJV has a pretty good word here, long-suffering. I think that's a hard one to replace. I think it's a richer word for what we're talking about. And so I actually chose the KJV translation for each of these just so you could hear that word as I read. Exodus 34:6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And then in the New Testament, Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 9:22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And finally, 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So if you... as you listen to those verses, you realize that long-suffering is almost always in the context of extending mercy and extending endurance of wrong and maintaining relationship and loving others, even though they are being wrong toward you. And that's, we can see that that's predominantly, it's used how God regards us, that he has been long-suffering toward us who have been rebellious and sinful toward him, and yet he delays, and he maintains connection with us and reaches out to us and extends us grace and mercy. So it makes sense then, if this is a characteristic of God and how he relates to us, of course the Spirit is going to be developing those things in us. The Spirit's going to be growing that fruit in us of being long-suffering people, being long-suffering toward others. In fact, Paul later in 1 Corinthians, which was written much later than Galatians, 1 Corinthians 13, he of course writes about love there and defines what love is like, what it is. And in that list of distinguishing characteristics of love, he actually places patience, which could be understood as long-suffering, lists it first in the list. And so that should underscore just how important this characteristic of long-suffering should be. It's the very first characteristic of love that Paul notes in 1 Corinthians. So what would be some modern-day examples of long-suffering? What are we talking about here when we think about what that really looks like? Some examples that I came up with might be someone simply choosing to act, continue to behave in a loving way toward a family member or a spouse who continues to be wrong toward them or has some difficult, hurtful trait that they just won't change or that doesn't change in them for whatever reason. And a person continues to maintain a loving relationship with them in spite of that. Another example would be a member of a church who maybe is having a conflict with another member. Maybe another member is not treating them right, is somehow being hurtful toward them, and yet that the member continues to maintain relationship with them, not even so much to maintain relationship with that other person, but for the good of the church. They do it out of love for other believers, and they seek to rise above those difficulties and rise above the hurts in that situation for the good of others. Another example could be a grandparent who strives to maintain a relationship with a grandchild who maybe isn't treating them very well, isn't treating them very respectfully. And they continue to maintain relationship perhaps for the sake of the child or for the sake of their family, something like that. That would be a good example of long-suffering. And in each of these cases, though they're all different, of a different nature, what is ultimately happening is someone is choosing to deny themselves and the hurt that they are experiencing for the sake of something greater, for the benefit of someone else. and not themselves. They choose instead to love others, just as Paul opened in the early part here of the passage we've been studying. Paul points out that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That sums up the whole law. And that's what long-suffering would be. You know, I want to be clear, it would be easy to misconstrue what we're talking about here. I want to make it clear that when we talk about being long-suffering in a situation, we are not talking about any and all situations of wrongdoing or any and all situations of harm or hurt that you might be experiencing. Paul is not calling us, and the Holy Spirit is not calling us to long-suffering in any and every form, in any and every wrongdoing. There are certainly situations, I can think of things like physical abuse or other situations of severe harm or of a severe nature, where it is best for everyone, including the wrongdoer, that there be some sort of either end to the relationship or separation or something. So I want to be clear this morning that as we're talking about long-suffering, we're not talking about any situation where you're experiencing harm or wrong. And I also want to be clear, too, that we're not, long-suffering is long-suffering. It is not forever suffering. That there are times, though we are called to be long-suffering, there are times in relationships when someone continues to be harmful or hurtful for such a long time and without any sort of change, that sometimes there is a time to sort of bring an end to that, either by separating from them or somehow bringing about some other form of change in the situation. Even God, if you think about it, our ultimate example is God's long suffering toward us in our sin or toward people. And there are people who never turn to Christ. And though God is long suffering with them, there always comes a day when that does come to an end. And so I think even in God's example toward us, we can see that is true. The long suffering is long, but it is not forever suffering. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, long suffering is not the same as merely enduring something. It's not merely sort of gritting your teeth and getting through something, sort of tolerating someone for a while. When we talk about long-suffering here, we are talking about a genuine, merciful act where you continue to maintain a relationship out of love for someone else, whether it's the other person or other people around you, and love for God. And you're doing it firstly out of obedience to God and in response to God's love for you and merciful, long-suffering acts toward you. So, would you say that long-suffering characterizes you? As I said, I can't say that long-suffering characterizes my life. How do you respond when things don't go the way you want them to? How do you respond when other people harm you? Or how do you respond when other people get in the way of your plans and interrupt them or change them, or maybe even sabotage them? How do you respond to that? I know for me personally, the way I often respond is one of two ways. It's sort of the fight or flight. My first response is to put a stop to it and make sure they don't do that again. And that's sort of the fight response. And if that doesn't work, then I resort to a flight. I make sure that I sort of cut myself off from that person because I'm not going to allow them to continue to harm me or frustrate me or cause me pain anymore. And so those are the things I'm inclined to do. But that's really pretty much the exact opposite of what God calls us to do with long-suffering. As I said, in the examples I talked about, in all those examples, people choose to maintain that relationship for something greater than their own benefit, for something greater than just thinking about how to put a stop to pain. They choose to maintain relationship because they love God and because they love the, other people around them. So my guess is that all of us in some way could probably grow in the area of long-suffering. There are some people that are further along in this and some that are not so far along, but in any case, we can all grow. But then the question becomes, how do we do that? I mean, it's one thing to say we should be long-suffering, but how do we actually get there? Well, we need to be clear that we are never going to grow in the area of long-suffering until we part with the idea that we can do what we want to do, that ultimately we can choose to obey what our heart wants to do whenever we want to do it. I think Paul, when he draws that contrast between the acts of the flesh and life in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that's being worked in us, he makes it clear that those things, the flesh and the Spirit, are at war with each other. They are in conflict with each other. So to follow our hearts, which are sinful and evil naturally, when we allow them to just go the way they want to, they're wicked, and we choose ourselves. So that's not a good idea to sort of give vent to what you really feel like when you're experiencing wrong at the hands of someone else. Instead, when we choose to live by the Spirit, that's going to feel very unnatural. That's going to feel very unnatural because it is unnatural. It is not our typical natural way of responding to people. It's not what we want to do, but we know through Christ's Spirit that that's what he calls us to, and he empowers us to choose differently. And if you listen to talk shows, pop psychology shows, if you read books that sort of self-help books and all that, you know, that just doesn't compute with the rest of the world, this idea of self-denial for the sake of someone else, of rising above something because you love God or you love someone else. If you look at much of advice you get on those kinds of shows and through those kinds of books and things, ultimately at the bottom of all of it, it's self-love. It's making sure you take care of yourself. You do what's best for yourself, what you need to do. And the idea of dying to self and denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Christ, don't be deceived. Those things you're reading are coming out of an unchristian viewpoint, and we need to be going to Scripture to understand how we should respond. So as I said, living by the Spirit is often a painful, difficult choice. Often we want to give up on other people. Often we're tempted to give up on God, that he is working in the situation. We're tempted to force our will onto the situation. But long-suffering instead calls us to be merciful and possibly even to forgive. Those two are not the same thing, but certainly we're called to be merciful toward other people. And long-suffering, if you think about it, one of the good things about long-suffering is that it does leave room for the possibility of change. It does leave room for the it gives time, as God is giving time to humanity, gives time for the possibility of repentance and change, and that things could actually, that wrong could cease, that wrong against you could cease, that harmful, hurtful action could cease from the other person. And so there's long-suffering is good in that it gives room for that person to grow as well, the other person. And quite honestly, long-suffering gives room for us to grow. Ultimately, we don't know what's going to happen always in a situation where we are experiencing hurt at the hands of another person, and we choose the path of long-suffering. We don't know that that person will ever change. They may never change. But perhaps what does change is us and our hearts. James 1:3-4 says that steadfastness, which is not the same thing as what we're talking about, but steadfastness is produced by the testing of our faith, and this ultimately is making us perfect and complete. But I would venture that to guess that this is probably similar to what God often does with long suffering in our lives, with pain and hurtful things that just don't go away. and that stay there for quite some time. I think back to different times that Anisi and I have experienced hurtful things, and it could even be things with kids where a situation doesn't change. Perhaps they're being a certain way, and you know, we'll pray different times for some situation to change, and often it seems to get worse. In fact, it seemed to get worse. Either the situation got worse, or our response got worse. Our attempts at being long-suffering were pretty short. And I've wondered, you know, why does that happen? And I suspect in those times that God is probably using that situation where we're being called to long-suffering to expose something bigger than what we see. That a lot of times when we look around and we see the situation, we think, okay, this needs to change, that needs to change to get this all straightened out. And it doesn't work that way. And it goes on and it doesn't work out the way we think it needs to work out. And I think it's in times like that where God is actually exposing maybe something within us that's actually much more serious than just fixing this situation or making this hurtful thing go away. And he can actually use long suffering to bring that about, to help bring about that change in us. It's at the risk of being a little bit gross. It can be like an infection that you might have deep down in you, and all that you see is maybe a wound on your skin, and you keep thinking, I got to take care of that. I got to get that thing healed over, and you just keep wanting to apply bandages as if that's gonna take care of the problem. And instead, God knows our problem is much more serious. He knows that there's a much deeper, harmful infection, and through long suffering, he's sort of laying open things that then allow us to let the Spirit work on something much more significant and serious. And so long suffering, in a sense, is kind of like sticking around and staying with the doctor when he's choosing to do something very painful and hurtful for a long time. But ultimately we know that it's for good. But most importantly, when we are thinking about long-suffering and how to become more long-suffering people, more patient people, we need to look to the Holy Spirit. We can do lots of things, we can think lots of things, but we really need to begin with asking for the Holy Spirit's work to continue in us. We need to ask for God to empower us to be long-suffering, to think right thoughts in the situation, and to move our hearts to act in right ways and to make us more long-suffering inside. Because if we try to do it in our own strength, if we try to be more patient, and that's sort of the gritting your teeth kind of approach, and that's ultimately going to be doomed to fail, because it's really just external, and we can't change our own hearts. The only one that can change anybody's heart, including our own, is the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we need to be asking for, is the Holy Spirit's help in changing us and making us patient, long-suffering people. But part of changing our hearts, as the Spirit produces his fruit in us, it includes changing our minds and changing our thoughts. And I think some of the things that can help us as we consider how to be more long-suffering is, as I've mentioned a couple times already, a recognition of our own need for long-suffering, our own sinfulness. The Bible makes clear in various places that we ourselves have needed God's mercy and God's patience, and we have needed God not to respond to us immediately the way we deserve to be responded to. And we can be thankful that he didn't separate from us and leave us to the consequences of how we were being. But instead, he was long-suffering toward us. And God makes that clear in Romans 3 and elsewhere in Scripture, that we're all sinful and in need of God's grace. And as we recognize that, I believe, will help us to be more merciful toward others and to regard others with an attitude of being willing to stay through painful things they may be doing. I think, too, we need to recognize, along with that, just that we are all under development. As I've said, even for me, long-suffering has been a very slow process of change for me. That's not something that has come quickly. And so that's a long, slow process of development. And so for other people, if we realize that in all things regarding sin and choosing wrong, we're all at different places on the spectrum of growth. And so that can help us to be more merciful toward other people, is recognizing we're all fallen and we do wrong things to each other. And we choose wrong, and sometimes many times over and for a long time. And when we begin to recognize that and acknowledge that we're all under development, that I think can help us to choose long suffering. And I think just recognizing too, as we heard at the beginning of this passage, we're called to love our neighbor as ourself. We're called to die to ourselves and to live for Christ and to love our neighbor as ourself. And so simply out of obedience to God, that can help us to choose the path of long-suffering. We may have nothing in us that wants to be long-suffering toward that other person, but out of obedience to God and out of obedience to what he has called us to, we can choose the path of long-suffering in a situation. And finally, something we may not think about very much in a situation where we're being hurt and we're faced with a situation of, do I maintain this relationship with this person, or do I go a different way? I think we can find great strength and encouragement in knowing that God will always provide what we need. God's providence is not something we think of very much for encouragement, but I think in a situation of long suffering, it can actually be a very encouraging thing, to where when we are facing a situation, an underlying fear might be, I need to make sure I take care of myself. I need to make sure that I'm getting what I need. I need to make sure that I put a stop to this or that harmful thing that's happening to me. And I think we can rest in God's provision. Yes, as I said, there are times to remove ourselves, but in things where we can absorb some suffering and some pain, we can rest that God will provide for us. He always provides what we need. That may not be what we think we need, but he will always provide for us. And so we can take the risks and the losses that may come with long suffering. Ultimately, like Job, we may never really know fully why that God has placed us in a situation where we need to choose long-suffering. We may never really know why he has placed us in a hurtful situation with someone. It's not always made clear to us, and the benefits of practicing long-suffering are not always made clear to us. Job never, until the end of all of his ordeal, he never knew why he was suffering at the hands of Satan, but that's what it was. He was suffering at the hands of Satan, a specific challenge that was sort of presented. And I think sometimes that can be the effect of long suffering in our life. We simply obey God and we simply serve others when we can through long suffering. And we never know what impact that might have on the other person, even though in our minds it's making no change at all. But we don't know that. We may never know. We also don't know what impact that is having on anybody around us who may be witnessing that or may hear of that situation. Long-suffering, as we've said, is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it is something the Spirit is producing in us. So when other people see long-suffering in a believer, that's a testimony to the work of the Spirit and the truth of God's love in us, his work in us of changing us. It's a testimony to the truth of the gospel. and long-suffering can essentially serve as a great witness to the gospel. And so as we're faced with the thought of long-suffering, that God calls us to long-suffering, it's definitely not one of those things you sort of, a positive thing, you look forward to the opportunity to practice long-suffering. But I want to encourage us today that, as I've said, I think through long-suffering, a lot of times, God is doing something much greater than we can even see. And an analogy I thought of is about a year or so ago, I'm not sure how long it was, Anissa and I spent the whole evening looking at a website of a guy, I think it was a man and his wife, that were redoing this old Victorian home. It was about over 100-year-old home. And this was an incredible website because he detailed step by step about a 4-year process of them restoring all the things in this house. And he had, of course, the before and the after and the during and everything pictures. And I remember just being aghast at some of the stuff that this, of the change, the transformation that took place. There were things that they went in you saw the pictures of the before and you're just like, what in the world are they going to do with that? You know, that's sort of, you just close that door off and move on to something else more realistic to tackle. And, you know, they would go in there and they would rip something out. They'd rip a wall out or I might look at it. I was looking at different things and thinking, you know, that's just something you paint over that wall and move on. And, you know, this guy went to town on it and would do what truly needed to be done to restore this home. And I'm telling you, there were times in that surely that guy had to be thinking, this is never, never going to complete. And this is never going to improve. This is never going to get better. Surely it must have seemed hopeless at times. But eventually, after about 4 years of what must have been every weekend of working on their house and probably many nights during the week, they did complete it. And it's a beautiful home. I remember just being amazed at seeing his home restored to what was probably its original beauty. And I think that is often how God is working in a situation of long-suffering, working in us, in our hearts, and working in the heart, perhaps, of the other person or other people around us. And I think Paul gives us a promise like that in Philippians 1:6, where he says, basically, we can trust that God will be faithful to complete his work in us. And that may be in our hearts, but it may be in us believers together. He is completing his work, and that might be accomplished through long-suffering that we're called to. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have been long-suffering toward us. We thank you that you have not treated us as we deserved, and you did not cast us off immediately when we were choosing to rebel against you, when we were choosing our own selves and choosing sin and did not love you. And we thank you for being merciful to us and maintaining a relationship with us until we turn to you. And so we pray that you would that you would empower us to be merciful to other people and to practice long-suffering in our lives. We pray that you would grow that fruit in us, that you would be working in our hearts, and so that we could be a testimony of the good work that you are doing and the truth of the gospel. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.